heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Why would the Democrat Party, the Socialist Democrat Party, of course, that is, why would they put Joe Biden in this position, do you think, to be, first of all, their candidate, and then to have a shot at winning the presidency? I mean, think about that seriously. As you look around and, you know, throughout the party, was this the best they could do, Joe Biden? I mean, was if they really thought this through and thought, well, we have a good shot to take this thing and we're going to win in 2020, and this is the person we think can do it. I mean, does it make any sense to you? I mean, here's a guy who he's failed twice before to run for president. I mean, we've repeated countless times what Robert Gates came out and said about him. He's had no successes when it comes to foreign policy in his life. Paraphrasing, but that's basically it. He doesn't have anything as a real accomplishment, other than he was certainly selected by the Marxist President Obama to be the vice president. I mean, that's certainly an accomplishment there, but, you know, he didn't go out and have to achieve anything specifically. He was appointed in that position. He wasn't elected by the people, wasn't chosen by the people. The vice president is not chosen by the people. It is the president they choose. The president picks the running mate. Just in this case, the American people didn't choose Kamala Harris either. I mean, they obviously are suggesting that she's going to be the vice president, and they didn't choose her. She didn't win the votes here. It was Biden, supposedly. But, you know, looking at all of this, why would they get a guy that's going to be 78 years old? Now, you do just the basic math here. We have never elected a person this old to be the president. It's never happened. So why would they step back and choose a Joe Biden, first of all, and think, okay, he's the guy who's going to do this for us? You know, I started thinking about that more and more, how suspicious this all is and where the turning point on this election is, because quite frankly, somebody is going to be pretty embarrassed here with this whole deal, for sure. I mean, President Trump is pretty well got his heels in, and he and a lot of the people around him believe there's enough there. And of course, the president is being uncharacteristically quiet right now. We're not hearing a lot from him, and which I totally understand. I mean, when you're in war that way, and the art of war, really, that's what happens. You have to kind of get down into the strategy and figure out what exactly is going on. Better to do that than to shoot your mouth off, clearly. And so the president has been very quiet. I mean, certainly you're seeing some of the flutter of tweets, and that's about it. You haven't seen much else. And of course, Twitter is marking all that up everywhere. They're all doing it. Even all the YouTube videos on the Google side, they're all being marked up. This election's been decided. You know, just go away, go back. I mean, there's that narrative right there, for sure. But why would they choose Joe Biden as the candidate, as the poster child for their best nominee to be president of the United States, going against a Donald Trump? It doesn't seem to me like they thought they could win initially, because this is sort of a lost election when you throw a guy like this on. And, you know, so you've got this guy who, it, you know, I just seen him the other day, in fact, and I think it was yesterday, even the day before, when the few little times you see him, and he doesn't look well. I mean, he's walking like a man that is very, very old. I mean, And there are different levels in how we age. I mean, let's be clear. There are people I know in their 80s and 90s who are as healthy as anything. They look better, or they move around better than people in their 60s. So let's not suggest that somebody that's, you know, 85 or 90 can't be very healthy, because they can be. Now, President Trump, again, 74, and he looks, I mean, amazing. And there are people like that. But Biden is having some other health concerns, clearly, and it's showing up in everything about him. I mean, it's showing up in the man, and you can see that. On top of whether or not he has, I mean, we can argue all day long about the dementia factor or the Alzheimer's. I mean, we can talk about it and argue that point. But clearly, he doesn't look like the sharpest tool in the shed right now, for sure. But then again, Joe Biden has never been the sharpest tool in the shed. Perhaps this is just an older version of Joe Biden and a reflection of his younger self, but with the caveat that he's going to be 78 years old. Now, he turns 78, by the way, on November 20th. And he'll be 78 years old then. And so as he went into the White House, again, this would be the oldest president that we've ever elected. And so I got thinking of that more and to think, what's this? There's something not right here. We're not getting all the goods, all the information, and it's like the smell test. You know, something isn't right with the smell test here. I mean, if they really thought they had a shot in 2020, if they really thought they could take this thing from Trump, well, they certainly have maximized the handy dandy virus for sure. But they would have probably put a candidate up there who had far better skill sets and certainly not a two-time presidential loser and a man that has the sort of a record that a Joe Biden has. So that right out of the gate makes me very suspicious, as it should you. Now, taking it from there, as I say, somebody is going to have a lot of egg on their face here. I mean, we're headed somewhere. I mean, a lot of people are downplaying this. So they, well, don't worry, it'll all work out. Or, well, you know, the president is entitled to do X, Y, and Z, and we'll see what happens. But that's not the way the world is looking at this right now and the way that about everybody is looking at it right now. I mean, lines are being drawn. And you can start to see a lot of the news feeds and the headlines of how people are thinking. You know, he won't concede. What's wrong with this Trump? And it's that same beat that has been there from the moment one. It's not exactly a love affair with the American press and number 45 for sure. What I find interesting is an article I seen in The Blaze, and it was with a Texas Lieutenant Governor Patrick, okay? And this was quite fascinating to me. He sums it up about as best as I've seen it, actually. Let me read this to you. He says, the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves for creating suspicion of final vote totals. This is what Dan Patrick says now, okay? Not allowing Republican poll watchers to observe the vote count in multiple states, in some cases blocking their view with poster board, last minute changes in election laws in battleground states, ignoring the deadline to vote and accepting ballots for days after the election, ignoring postmarks and signature checks, not verifying that mail-in ballots were being sent to people who were alive or living in the state, and voting machines that have been a concern for over a decade all raise serious concerns. He says, the lieutenant governor says, this lack of transparency has led many to believe that the final count is not accurate in states where the winner was determined by a very small percentage of the vote. Now, think about that. That's the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick out of Texas. Now, he goes now, this even gets better, and I'll get back to some of this after, but he's offering a $1 million reward, up to $1 million, if you will, for anyone who provides information leading to an arrest and conviction for voter fraud in this 2020 presidential election. Get a load of that now. I mean, this is a quick way to make some fast money. So, I'll tell you what, I really like this Dan Patrick. He puts it out there now. Talk about putting your money where your mouth is. So instead of just loose lips, he's actually putting cash on there for people who can. So he's figuring if this really happened, somebody is going to tell somebody out. I mean, somebody's going to do something. And we're starting to see that actually across the country, and we don't even know the tip of the whole iceberg in this case. We're only getting little drips and drips of this thing. I'm gathering there's a whole massive amount of fraud underneath. And like everything else, this president is going to expose a lot. I can tell you that, just like he's exposed the entire deep state for who they are, this establishment, you know, I would imagine there's going to be some real lessons learned in the next many weeks between now and January 20th. This much I can guarantee you. This is all going to see the light of day like it's never seen before. And of course, our voting systems are a sham anyways. We are not exactly, as I've said to you in previous days, the picture of democracy in the shining city of light of all freedom. Not exactly the way we are acting right now. And I'm fascinated with that $1 million reward that he's thrown out there for someone who's got the information, the goods, and we can get someone convicted for voter fraud and get them arrested. And, you know, it's about time there's some accountability. There's no accountability at all in Washington. We're still waiting for the reports for the damage that happened in the 2016 election. Look at that scam. I start thinking about why they chose Joe Biden to begin with. Again, you know, two-time loser, oldest man ever, not a good orator of facts, very clumsy. This is not exactly a picture of democracy. Somebody you want to say, well, this has got to be my guy. Like, we're really going to win this election and he's my man. Let's put him up there. I don't see it, people. That's not it. He's not the A player. He's not the chosen one. Something doesn't smell right as to why they put him in there, sort of as the scapegoat, because we know he's on his last legs. I mean, we know that. I mean, he doesn't look well. I see him walk up to the podium. I say just yesterday, last day or two. And he does that, you know, when you can't walk well or you're really the fragile, you shuffle your feet kind of, and you're sort of like, it's that shuffling effect to get the strength to get up to the podium. And that's was kind of a sad scene. And I've been saying this right along, his wife, it's disgraceful what they've done here. It is a scam for sure. And it will come out, I believe. It will come out somewhere. It's got to come out. Again, you can't hide all this kind of stuff for the long term, I think. It's got to come out, you know. So interestingly enough, I'm thinking about, okay, so now we've got lines being drawn in the sand. And in the meantime, they're building the inauguration stage at the Capitol. That is in play right now, people. That is going to happen. The concept is in this country, every 4 years, we have a celebration of our freedom, of our liberty. It's a moment where we put and we elect and we make it official the next president of the United States for the next 4 years, God willing. Right? That is the plan. And so they're building that stage out right now with the concept. And of course, the media is saying they're building that for Joe Biden. He is the winner of this parade. And of course, Joe Biden, they've already got him crowned. He's already been crowned as the man of the victor. They did that the night of the 3rd. That's when that all happened. And the media just piled on, including your beloved Fox News, of course. He's the president-elect, they proclaimed, as the votes were changing quickly with whatever was going on with those Dominion machines, right? And the Hamas scorecard or the rest of the baloney, whatever it is, and a myriad of other things that have happened. But right now, you know, what makes it really official is they got him in Wikipedia. Well, by golly, that should make it official for everybody. It says he will be inaugurated as the 46th president on January 20th, 2021 in Wikipedia. Well, that's it, kids. Let's all go home. Wikipedia spoke. Yeah, we'll see how that all works out, huh? So this suspiciousness I have, that's the theme I want to continue to talk to you about. Interesting audio piece I want to play for your next that you must hear. This is from Euronews. I love looking at what people are saying around the world, but there's more to this one that I think is important to hear. And regarding Trump's refusal to concede. And it's embarrassing. Now, I see Biden come out. You might have seen that little clip, too. And he says it's embarrassing. And it's embarrassing because it's a mark on his legacy, Trump's legacy. So now Biden is worried about Trump's legacy. Isn't that nice? I thought that was very sweet of him. He's concerned for Donald Trump's legacy. That's a very noble thing that he's concerned with now. And I thought, wow, he's a stand-up dude. Joe Biden, that is, you know, to be so concerned for that, for his legacy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the legacy. That's the legacy they have been from moment one, not trying to just tarnish, but they've tried to just obliterate it. I mean, they have they have crippled and done everything they can to this administration from moment one. But now he's worried about a legacy as the poster child for the Socialist Democrat Communist Party. Huh? Amazing. Well, that just tells me everything. Gives me the warm and fuzzy real quick. But really, Euronews captures the clip here. But I actually going to play that whole clip because I want you to hear the accent of the host on this as well, because it is interesting when you really think about how the world looks at this. It's, if you really want any level of what people are thinking, I'm going to tell you the hint of this is go outside the U.S. press. And I always do that. I go to foreign press to find out what's happening throughout all of it, through the Middle East, through Asia, Europe. You find out a lot more and a lot more angles. And in a lot of cases, a lot more honesty, too. Not always, of course, because a lot of those people are in cahoots as well for a globalist kumbaya. Let's hold hands and sing Whistle Dixie here. You know, there are a lot of those people all around the globe, you know. So I want to play this audio clip for you from Euronews. Talks about you'll hear firsthand what Biden says about Trump's legacy and that he's so concerned for it.
Tuesday saw President Trump shut in the White House, blocking Democrat Joe Biden's ability to prepare the transition. During Mr. Biden's first questions as president-elect, he said Republican arguments have little basis in reality.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I just think it's an embarrassment, quite frankly. The only thing that, how can I say this tactfully? I think it will not help the president's legacy. I understand the sense of loss. I get that. But I think the majority of the people who voted for the president, a lot voted for him, a significantly smaller number, but a lot voted for him. I think they understand that we have to come together.
It's been several days since President Trump lost the election, but he still tweeted, "We will win," earlier on Tuesday. And even Secretary of State Mike Pompeo brushed off a question about whether the State Department was standing in the way of a successful transition.
It will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right, we're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly.
I mean, certainly they were never worried about a legacy at all as they were trying to cripple the administration time after time after time. And yet the president continued to beat all odds. In fact, I started thinking today as well, this president would be the current day Harry Houdini, really, as many times as he has escaped and gotten out of the chains or the locks of the Socialist Democrat Party. He would be a current day Houdini, by the way, for sure. So the way I see it with Donald Trump, I mean, he is unique. And I think that's what has a lot of people on pins and needles right now. They're wondering what this president will come up with when it comes to this level of fraud. You can rest assured that he's got all the oars in the water here and all the people ready to pounce here as they're looking at all this. Now, we don't know a lot of the details yet, a lot of the facts that are coming, but I would imagine looking at what I'm looking at here again, with whatever took place, it's got to be pretty serious. I did see Brennan on a video clip just yesterday here on, it was on his, of course, his favorite channel where he is a commentator of some sort there on CNN there, the Communist News Network, you know. So Brennan was saying, well, you know, Chris, he's got like 70 days, you know, and it's, well, Cuomo comes out and says, well, don't worry about it. He can't, he's going to be out of there in 70 days. Everything's fine. And, you know, I noticed with Cuomo, it was his body language was interesting, a little jump in his step here to think he's finally gotten rid of the Houdini Trump. And so I always like to watch how they act and interact with folks, you know. And of course, Brennan come back and said, well, yeah, but that's 70 days. You know, that's his president. He could create a lot of problems still. And don't forget all the information he knows already. Well, of course, what Brennan really is worried about is that President Trump has a lot of dirt on Brennan and a whole host of other people. That's what he's really worried about. And that's where I think this story hasn't really seen the light of day yet when it comes to the Brennan and the Clappers yet. And of course, we've known Comey all along, the Three Stooges, what they've been up to. But now with a lot of what is going to come out with all these delays with the Department of Justice, back to the John Durham report and all of these IG reports that were should have come out with something prior, where there should have been some indictments and there hasn't been any. And now, of course, once it got too close to the election, all that was sort of called off. So now the Brennans and the Clappers and all these others, they sort of are trying to, you know, these are the people that are interesting to me because they think they've possibly gotten away with it. Like, this is at the scene of the crime still. And they kind of think they've gotten away with something. And now the Brennan and the Clappers and all of these, if everything is true from what, you know, this whole hammer and scorecard business with the electronic surveillance and they got in there and stole the votes, if that really did happen, if that did happen and that flushes out as we've had conversations just in past days here with Lieutenant General McInerney, and you hear Sidney Powell out there with it, you hear a whole host of people that are, you know, pushing this narrative, of course. And you know, I've watched a lot of stuff on there, probably you have as well. And it looks like something is there that was developed in the CIA. And the idea is that the Obama officials, Brennan and Clapper, took it and weaponized it back then, and that they've done a series of things with it. Now, if that's really happened, as has been stated, people, that's got to come out. I mean, you can't hide that stuff for the long road. I mean, but back to Patrick's reward there, somebody is going to be willing to make a quick buck. That's why he's offering the $1 million, and it's why I throw that in for your consideration today to think about. That's fascinating. That's one of the most interesting things that I think anybody has done yet, to put money like that. I mean, hell, we might as well offer $100 million and make somebody ultimately really wealthy. Certainly our democracy and our freedom and liberty here is certainly worth $100 million. It's worth a gazillion. It's worth everything. So let's just keep throwing money on there. Let's raise some funds and create a lottery out of the whole thing. You can buy tickets, see who wins the money. Somebody, the point of this is somebody has got to, you know, spell somebody out. I mean, somebody has, that just happened. So if that doesn't happen between now and the 20th of January, then I think all bets are off. Then I think, you know what, then I have no confidence at all that that ever existed. And I'm not going to buy it. If we don't flush this. So, you know, I labeled the show we did last week here over the weekend on Viewpoint, a constitutional crisis, which was pretty extreme. I think I hesitated to even put that on there because, and I don't want to talk smack all the time when something on that level is really not something to joke about. I mean, that says plenty for where we're at, but the seriousness of the situation right now, where we find ourselves, says exactly that, though. It really does have this potential right now to be a constitutional crisis. And we're only seeing the edges of this thing. I'm telling you, people, this thing, I'm going to promise you this, this thing is going to blow up. And I think you kind of probably know that. I think a lot of you probably, again, back to the smell test, I think you probably know that something is going to happen here. And if it doesn't, then all bets are off. And then the rest of the people, you know what? Either put your money where your mouth is and make the either these claims are true or they're not. And if not, then 46 is going to be Biden. And you're going to have to suck it up, America. And if that's what happened and the proof isn't there, then you've got a Biden, Kamala Harris. And we'll talk about Kamala Harris and her record in a little bit here. Get back to that just ahead. But so that's kind of where we're at right now. This is the moment where at some point ahead, there's going to be a moment of truth with all of this. They're not going to be able to hide behind it. Rest assured, something is going to have to come out that is going to be very revealing. And it's going to have to be widespread fraud. It's not going to be just somebody did something. I seen something. Something happened or whatever it is. It's going to have to be something that's significant that changed the course of events through this election. Now, from a lot of things I'm seeing, They're telling me that happened. Okay, I didn't see it. I don't know if it happened, people. I mean, listen, I've been reporting on it, talking about it. We've had people on here that have discussed it that are in the know. I mean, I understand that. But, you know, let's get the proof out now, and we'll see. I'm going to circle back with some of these people next week, in fact, to see what has been done and where are the success metrics. And, you know, again, rather than just talk about it, where's the action, what's happened, and what kind of progress are we making? Let's get a progress report. That's all. Let's understand where we're at. So something has got to give, though, at this point. And again, you know, I know everybody's talking about all these cases, and I'm seeing, all the various claims out there, and I've looked at a ton of them, and they look very compelling, quite frankly. There's a lot of them. I mean, it just tells you what I get out of a lot of that. It tells you, first of all, how screwed up our system is. I talked to the other day about, you know, trying to act like a United States and come up with one election system for all. But, you know, this business of every state going on the wild, wild west is nothing but a bunch of garbage. This is not the kind of thing that we can do to be the picture of liberty around the world and to say we're the state of democracy. Here's a lot of garbage as well. That stuff has to change. I'm telling you now, there are certain principal fundamental things we need to do in our nation. I mean, we're going to have bragging rights on anything, people. We got to get it right. That's one of the areas right there. And I continue to tell you that, but this nonsense of having these people, these mayors and governors and attorney generals and commissioners and everybody else control the fate of the nation is insanity. When a lot of these people are, they're just nothing more than little communists. And a lot of them don't have our best interest at heart. I mean, you can see that the way they've governed. You can see that the way they've governed through the whole COVID thing. I mean, these people have gone nuts. They've gone over the cuckoo's nest. The extreme measures they've taken to remove the people's freedoms. I mean, certainly, we've never seen anything like this. And now, you know, what worries a lot of us and those of us who are God-loving patriots and conservative voices out there is, what the hell does that be? If we're worried about it then, what does it look like under a Biden-Kamala Harris administration, a.k.a. Bernie Sanders, the squad, and that whole group, and then some? And that's only the people we know. How many people do you think we don't know? You know, you got to remember. And I'll just remind you all quickly enough that there was a lot of damage done to our nation through the 8 years of the Barack Obama White House, number 44. I mean, that's a bad scar on America's history for sure. And there are a lot of bad players he put into power. He did a lot of damage to this nation, no doubt about it. And we're still feeling the results of that, going to feel that for a long time. And that's one of the grave mistakes I've talked to you about all the time with number 45. Our current president is, he didn't clear the decks enough and get a lot of this cancer out of there. And I know he was fighting an uphill battle. They had him playing defense all the time while he was still playing offense for the American people, which is a beautiful thing. But I'll give you this much right now. Whatever happens in the next many weeks as we get to January 20th, whatever happens after that, two things are going to happen. We're going to have two different worlds. And we'll be talking more about the Biden world and what that is, and God forbid that becomes anything. But we're looking at taking America back 100 years if that happens, because these people are loony, toony, crazy. The ideas and the concepts they have for our great nation is like nothing you've seen before. And you know Biden's not making it through a term. I mean, you know that. He may not make it through months, and the president doesn't think he'll make it through a couple of months here at most, if that. So what then that becomes the Kamala Harris parade at that point. What kind of a program do you think we're going to have with her? And that's something else I want to talk to you about. See, these are the consequences of the moment. Rather than just, you know, speculate and hyperventilate, that's why I'm telling you what's happening right now in the counting of this vote is serious business, because it's either one of two things is going to happen. Now, if it does become the second term of the Trump administration and the Trump legacy, if that happens, as we suspect there's still a very good shot of that happening, beyond the media and the Wikipedia thinking they proclaim the president of the United States, you know, like they have the magic wand and they have the Electoral College and the picture of our Constitution. Sure, sure, I believe that. But I got to tell you this, if Trump, if that all happens, I'm willing to bet this. This is what makes this really fascinating right now. This is like the gravy all over your Thanksgiving dinner here is what I'm going to talk about now. But I'm going to tell you this. If this does become the second administration, the term of Donald Trump, number 45, I'm venturing to say to you, we're going to have a change in our country we've never seen before. And that is, you talk about the point of being cancerous, but you're going to see, I'll go out on a limb because I don't think it is a limb at all. I think you're going to see this president be totally ripping pissed. I think you're going to see a clearing out of the establishment like you haven't seen before. Of course, I'm going to be applauding all of it as it happens in real time. I'll do a play-by-play for him. How's that? But I think you're going to see that. And I think you're also going to see some final, I think you're going to see some indictments. I do believe that will happen. I don't know. It's a gut feeling I have at this moment. So I think the game has changed now. I think the bets are kind of changing. You see what I mean? Now, that's dependent on what's going to happen now between now and 20th of January. I'm not saying I got all that figured out. But afterward, it's either one or two things. We got two paths right now, America. It's either going to be that second side of the Trump, the second term of the administration. And it's going to be, you know, there's the shot for America to pull some of the cancer out of itself, out of its body and move on. That potential is right there right now. And on the other side of it, if it becomes the Kamala Harris and the communists that take it over, you're looking at a whole different America. Now, how much the Senate can stop them or not, depending on what happens in Georgia, or we'll have to start playing that song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, Charlie Daniels, right? Because that's what's going to happen there. As you see the Democrat people get into Georgia, the devil went down to Georgia. It's all going to be about Georgia now with those two Senate seats. You know, that's a big factor here where the Senate is in all of this as well, because that's the only stopgap you have. Back to that other picture of a horrible situation of a communist regime being in America. Remember, you've already had 8 years of Obama, which he was making America communist. He was apologizing for America. He did not believe in American exceptionalism. That's not me talking. That's him talking. That's a fact. And so, you know, that's kind of what you'd have there. And so now you see two different pictures here, don't you, huh? Two different pictures. Yeah, fascinating. Well, I want to talk to you more about this Texas Lieutenant Governor Patrick, Dan Patrick, and his $1 million reward. I also want to talk to you about Kamala Harris and what she would look like as a president, President Harris. Doesn't give you a warm and fuzzy, does it now, people? Not exactly. And the worst part about this is back to the trickery here that I was saying, why would they choose Joe Biden, is we connect the dots, you and I here, okay? That may be part of the reason they chose Joe Biden, because if they could get him over that finish line, they could never get a Kamala Harris as president. We know that. I mean, she was in the initial lineup of the cast of characters they had there on their debate stage. She was one of those cast of characters in the lineup there, you see, you know, the Democrat socialist lineup. But there's no way she would have won this thing. I mean, they didn't even want her. She was one of the first ones out. I mean, she wasn't even chosen for anything. I mean, she was dismissed immediately as a non-event. Of course, President Trump warned everybody back then when she had that speech out in California. You remember he did that? He warned everybody about how lethal she was and how much of a communist she was. Interesting. So was that the game plan all along, to make Kamala Harris the first woman president, the first black president, the first communist president, the first stooge president? Was that the game plan all along? I'm wondering. I'm just putting it out there, people. I mean, that is a Trojan horse, isn't it, now, if there ever was one? We'll pause. The Voice of the Nation will be back in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So there was a game plan here all along and where they wanted to take this thing, very much. And that's the fight that is ahead here. Because there was no way they were thinking Joe Biden was going to be able to do this. You'll never convince me of that he was the best man for the job. Or that they thought Kamala Harris would be the best man for the job. Obviously, they put her as a number two in there and kind of brought her in as the Trojan horse with Biden, so they can pull her out of some sort, I guess. Because I can't think for a moment that anybody in that party thought that Biden would be that pitcher, that be the leader that would bring them forward. So then I had to think, okay, well, if they really did that and it was an intentional act, then they had to think, well, now that kind of makes me pause a moment, as it should you, because then it tells you that they had to know the rest of this. They had to know that they had some corrupt election schemes. And then you start to look at all the things that Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick out of Texas talks about. Let's explore this a moment, okay? That with that $1 million reward that he puts out there. This is remarkable to me. And again, he says the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves for creating suspicion. Now, there's the key word, suspicion. There's the key word. And there is suspicion, people. Call it what you want. I know they blame this on everything on the dictator in the White House, they say. But they set that up right along. They've made that their course of action from day one. And you just watch the way they've done this. This is not hard to figure out, people. They are brilliant when it comes to using and weaponizing psychology against the American people. It's really psychological warfare is what we're talking about here. And Patrick says, here's the litany of things he says here. Not allowing Republican poll watchers to observe the vote count in multiple states. Now, I watch those videos, people, and they're pretty ugly. This isn't just a talking point here that Patrick says there. I watch some of the videos there. And they are ugly, where they were locked out of a lot of these polls. I didn't think much of that initially. I wasn't sure what the hell they were really, what do you mean locked out of the, you know? And then you see all of the poster boards in the cut, but you see there's something going on there and they didn't want anybody near them. And then, but you know, again, the truth has to prevail. The truth will come out. It will leak out. It will be out there back to this award, which I think they need to bring that north. I think Trump needs to get some other money and raise some funds to make that $1 million, $100 million, make somebody really wealthy. Absolutely. You know, get some of the big money in the Republican Party and get it on that reward, please. Create a little lottery system out of it. Let's make a game show out of it. So he then goes on to say, in some cases, blocking their view, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Here's what gets last minute changes in election laws in battleground states. Now, I started seeing that. You've seen that as well. The weeks and the couple months leading up to the election. There were a lot of stories. Now, a lot of us were pretty confident that Trump had pretty strong momentum. He worked his tail off after the COVID episode, a rallying around this. We've never, ever seen an individual work that hard to want that. I mean, we've never seen that. We've never seen that in our lives, people. That was totally unique. It's incredible, the energy. This is after COVID. This is after he was down and out. Truly remarkable. And then I start thinking, where does that power come from, the energy source? Where's that coming from? Where's that coming from? That is a Houdini moment, isn't it? coming from God Almighty? Where does that energy come from? It's incredible, remarkable. Doing, can you imagine? And never complaining about it once. I mean, doing four or five of those rallies a day. I've done this sort of thing, and even doing what I do, the energy I put out, it kicks my ass at times. Come the end of a day, I'm toast. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to know anybody. And don't bother me, please. Once you put that sort of energy out there, it's like, it's almost like the snake when they shed their skin. Then they're, you know, sitting out there bare ass in the, don't have, they've lost their skin. It's the same thing. Donald Trump shed his skin when he was doing all that prior. You put your heart and your soul into it, you see? And that's what I do here. So I totally get that. And that energy, although we have a lot of energy, once you, the energy is a gift. You put the, and that's what President Trump is. He gives, it's a gift he provides. And the gift is, and I love it. I love it. I love it. He walks out on the rally stage. He gets everybody super excited. I mean, he is the master cheerleader. Impeccable. Incredible man, incredible time, incredible president, incredible human being. I mean, God, there's something more to this story, people. I've been saying for some time the conversation Donald Trump has had with God and God with Trump. I can only imagine a current day point of that conversation. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I'll have to check into my magic crystal ball here and we'll further along that conversation, but there's definitely something godly about it, is all I'm saying to you. There's something most incredibly unique. Yeah, it just is. Doesn't matter what I think or my opinion. I mean, it's a fact. And so all these last minute changes in the election laws and the battleground states, why the rush? Why the big need? Why all the pushing in the courts? Why all this hurry up and let's get the system ready so we can continue to tinker and totter with it after the election? So, yeah, so we won't have the election on the 3rd. We'll extend it out 2 weeks. It will allow you to send your votes in. You can do this. You can do that. I mean, they were changing the rules, which you ordinarily don't do. And a lot of these cases, we're trying to get up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court really doesn't want to be dealing with this. They don't want to mess with election laws. And they certainly don't want to do it just prior to an election. I mean, that's like going to mom and dad and getting the keys to the car one night and asking for a couple of $100 to go out and get drunk and crash up the joint. And mom and dad is the Supreme Court. And although mom and dad sometimes, you know, don't exactly honor our wishes, I think they clearly took a look at all this and they wanted to stay out of it as much as they could. But you've seen a lot of these cases in the way they were ruling. But on the local level, a lot of them got by with it, with the courts. And they started to change the rules. And there was a period of these where, you know, the GOP wasn't having the success and turning the back and they got their way. And but you think about why that rush was there, why all of a sudden to change the rules at the end, which is what Dan Patrick points out. Not verifying that mail-in ballots were being sent to people who were alive or living in the state. I mean, that's a basic thing, people, you know? And voting machines. Our whole system is a mess. I mean, it's disgusting. There needs to be, I'll tell you this as well, after this election, after the 20th, there needs to be a high-level committee put together. And I'm talking something very effective. In fact, I'll lead it. I will be happy to lead this committee. I will do it. I'll be happy to do it. And just come up with some basic answers and reaffirm our election system. So it is the picture of democracy and the light of liberty around the globe. Let's do that, people. Let's fix it, okay? Let's fix it so we don't have this embarrassment again. Let's get it done before the midterms. And I'm talking about in a very fair and equitable way. I'm not talking about anything twisted here. Because that's when, as Americans, as patriots, we just want fair and equitable. We don't want communist rules and people cheating and stealing. That's not what this is about here. And as I said to you, I think it was yesterday, you know, if Joe Biden won fair and square, we'll suck it up. If that's what America really wants, I'm not suggesting anybody should lie, cheat, and steal on the right either to steal the election back for Trump. That's not what I'm saying at all, people. If you've judged that for me, you've judged incorrectly. That is not what I'm saying at all. I'm talking about rewarding our democracy, rewarding the winner. If Biden won this thing fair and square, well, then so be it. Then I don't know what to say. There's another lesson in there somewhere if that happened, truly, you know? The lesson, it could be many things. Oftentimes, we have to step back as a nation before we step forward, you know? And again, a lot of this plays to that. It's remarkable looking at this thing from probably 100,000 feet, let alone 35,000. But it is remarkable to look at where we find ourselves. And then you think, I think often about the, you know, the Senate, because God forbid, you know, probably the end of our nation would be, and I say this very reluctantly and not at all to be smart here, but if they did win the House, the Senate, and the presidency, it would be pretty bad. It would be a death march for sure somewhere. I mean, because we wouldn't be able to hold them off anywhere. So the firewall would have to have been the Senate. And of course, they don't have that outright right now. And of course, if they did win those other two seats, when the devil goes down to Georgia, then, you know, Kamala would become the deciding vote in the Senate, be 50-50. The VP is the president of the Senate, they rule. So see what happens here? So that still hangs in the balance here, people. You can't really count on anything. And already gazillions of dollars are pouring into Georgia. I'd like to see some of that money poured into this this fund that Dan Patrick has put together. I got to finish this with Patrick because he lays it out again, case by case by case. He says the lack of transparency has led many to believe again that the final count is not accurate. And I think we all believe that to be true. The question is how deep and how wide and how far does it go is what we all have to ask, you know. But this up to $1 million reward, basically, it goes like this. So the purpose of the offer is to incentivize, encourage, and reward people who come forward with reports of voter fraud. Anyone who provides evidence that leads to a conviction will receive at least $25,000. Wow, cool. Paid for by Patrick's campaign fund. Now, if you got some of these things and you want, I'll be the middleman. I'll be the agent here, and I'll take... I'll do as little as 10%. I'll take 10% of the 25,000 and I'll be the middleman and help to get it to Patrick for you. So just send those all to me at liberty@americaoutloud.com. Okay. All right. And I'll help reward Liberty, and I'll only take 10%. You take the 90%. We'll make a little money out of this thing. Okay. Just send me all your claims and give me the proof, total proof now. Don't waste my time. And we'll get them all over to Dan Patrick for you. How's that? Okay. Here's the call to action. And I'll encourage them to put more money in the pot here, okay? So Patrick goes on to say this. He says, I support President Trump's efforts to identify voter fraud in the presidential election and his commitment to making sure that every legal vote is indeed counted and every illegal vote is disqualified. That's a good statement. He's not saying that I want President Trump to win no matter what. It's not saying that. He said President Trump's pursuit to voter fraud is not only essential to determine the outcome of this election. Listen to this, people. Drum roll here, please. It is essential to maintain our democracy and restore faith in future elections. That's the confidence in our democracy. He says when all legal votes are tallied and all illegal votes are discarded, when America can have a greater level of confidence in the election process, President Trump is absolutely right to pursue every allegation here, just as Al Gore did in 2000. Every candidate for public office has this right. My goal, he says, this is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick now of Texas. My goal is to ensure that regardless of the outcome, every American has faith in our electoral process and our democracy. Wow, wow, wow. You know what? I've just become a very big fan of Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Very big fan. I would say I would absolutely support this man, whatever he runs for next. This is a very honorable and noble thing he has done. But I also like the words that he chose to put it out there. It's very American. It's very, very American. It's not done under threats. He's not talking about Trump, Trump, Trump. He's got to win no matter what. He didn't do that. This is the way I would have done it right here. I really applaud this. I think this is super, super good. And so that should tell us a little bit here with what Patrick puts out there. I'm really encouraged by his statement and what he's put out there. Now, the key is going to be to gather all that evidence and see what we do with it, okay? And again, back to what I said to you in the last many days, widespread fraud. The fact that somebody did something in this state or that state or whatever is probably not going to be enough to cut it. We know that these votes are being sent to dead people. We know people are voting 2, 3, 4, and 100 times. We know they're doing all kinds of shenanigans at the local level. We know they don't take voting seriously. We know all of that because they don't even want an ID and they want illegals to vote and everything else. We know that. And I talked to you the other day about that. All that has to change in our nation, people. We need a new task force committee to fix the voting system. This should be a big initiative for a new president. I'm going to talk more about this ahead. I feel very impassioned about this point right here. I really do. I don't want to see our country go through this bleeding process anymore in the future, whether it's a midterm or a general election. We need to get this right. If there are two things we could accomplish in our lifetime right now for our great nation, there are two things I could have a hand in. They would be this, the election reform, you know, and the other thing would be term limits. If I could do two things, my fellow Americans, and make an input here and an impact to our great nation, to all of our people and all you beautiful people out there, it would be those two areas. I'd be thrilled if we could just have our hand in there to get those two things handled for future generations. That would have the best course where we could finally level the playing field and have every opportunity to have another 250 years. And then maybe someday they'll celebrate 500 years of the United States of America, or what that looks like. Interesting. I wish I was here. I wish I was alive at that point. I wish I could look back and see. Maybe I'll be reincarnated if that happens. Maybe I'll be something else. I don't know. But it would be fascinating to look back and see where we're at. And I always talk to you about that because I truly do find it interesting as we look back. As I, you know, even now when we look back to, you know, 50, 100 years past, and we think about it in the terms today, we have our own view and our own version of history or what might have happened in the turn of the 19th century or when, whatever, the automobile was developed or the television or when John F. Kennedy was assassinated or Lincoln, what really happened there as you look back historically. But there are some things we have to get right in our government right now, or I think you start to take some time off of our clock of our survival as the picture of freedom in the world. We're definitely treading some water. I mean, I still feel optimistic. I truly, truly do feel optimistic about our nation. But I think there are some challenges in front of us that are very serious. And I think if we don't handle some of that, I think the clock, I look at it sort of as a clock, will tick the other way as far as the survival in life, the longevity of life for the United States, I guess the way I'd say it. So anyways, I'd like to contribute to those two matters would be initiatives for me. As a gift to future generations. That to me would be a gift. Not so much that it's going to impact my life at this moment, but it will impact future generations in a significant way. If we could get that together, wouldn't that be a noble course? Don't you think that would be really cool if we could do that and fix the system here? I mean, there's something to that. So I've seen this other piece. Who is this Kamala Harris in the Indian Express? Again, another foreign publication, which I look at frequently, these publications. It says, if Joe Biden wins, communist Kamala will take over in a month. They're suggesting that's what Donald Trump said. And he said something like that. He said, I thought that wasn't even a contest last night. He was speaking about the debate between Pence and Harris, you know. She was terrible. I don't think you could get worse and totally unlikable. She's a communist. She's left of Bernie Sanders. And, you know, he talks about this in different ways. We're going to have a communist. Look, I sit next to Joe and I look at Joe. Joe's not lasting 2 months as president. That's my opinion. He's not going to be lasting 2 months. So this is what he said after that debate. So I was thinking a little more about Harris, too, which we should talk about in the days ahead. Or maybe we don't have to talk about her if there's momentum on fixing this thing, and we can start to get back to, you know, some other more positive conversations about our nation. I'd like, at some point ahead, I'd like to not be talking about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, if I have my way, at least. I'd rather not be talking about communism in our nation. And I'd rather talk about more proactive things to help future generations out and to help our current generations as well. Both, the quality of life. That's all I'm after here for everybody, you know. But this whole story here about what he was saying about Kamala, which this piece here was in the Indian Express here, is interesting in the way of this. You know, Kamala Harris is a nasty person. You see that vicious laugh she has, it's very irritating. And that's a very nervous, neurotic laugh. That's somebody who's hiding something. That's a, when you do that kind of thing, and we'll talk more about this later. Here's, I'll come up with some audio for you on that. We can sit and laugh about the laugh. But it's very annoying. It's, you know, that, you know, it's a very, it's like a tick. It's like when you have a tick of some sort, you can't shake it. And she goes into that laugh when she doesn't want to answer a question or she's been cornered, you know, just like the cobra has been cornered, you know, and then the cobra comes out with the fangs, you know. And that's kind of what Kamala is when she does that disgusting laugh. And I started thinking about what a communist, and this was like a nightmare I had last night, I guess, you know, the communist Kamala in the White House. That would be her name, obviously, communist Kamala. And what that would look like. And, you know, I got to tell you what, I'm going to tell you right now, people. She would be one vicious, bitchy politician. She'd be one bitchy president. And I'm going to say that to you because she would be, you see her personality, the way it changes at times, or you see the way it's twisted. And I'm telling you, I'm very convinced she is a nasty woman, nasty. That's a whole nother thing, nasty women, right? She would be a nasty, nasty politician as a president. Absolutely horrible. And I don't wish that on anybody. I mean, but she, I get a really sincere of ugliness in how she would present herself. And again, when you watch her demeanor, her personality, and that part of her comes out. Now, that's just on the personality side of it. But you take a look at her policies and how she has run those policies, and you look at her in her relationships with law enforcement in California, and you get a real sense of what I'm speaking about here. This is not the kind of person you want in a leadership role at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I got news for you, you know. I wouldn't put her in charge of the mosquito control or dog catcher unit, honestly speaking. How she's gotten this far is amazing. You know, I don't know what they're putting out there in the water of my friends in California, but we got to get some of that fixed out there, because they're getting some of the most crazy, corrupt politicians, and many of them were reelected still in this term, which blows my mind that they can be. But somehow or another, the people out there are just not looking at real policies to impact their lives. Too much to go into now, but you get the picture of it. I'm not sure how we save California. I keep thinking to try to do it. I've tried to put some of these politicians on the radio here. I've tried to make a mark in it to help them out, but it seems like they're so far gone, you can't even seem to talk common sense to them in any event. Listen, we are all on it here. Catch me, don't forget, on the weekends, by the way, on Viewpoint this Sunday, and Viewpoint Presents with Michael Johns at 11 a.m. Viewpoint this Sunday at 10 a.m. Two great hours of talk radio excellence. 10 to noon time on Sunday. Encore later in the day, 6 to 8. Goes to podcast at 2 in the afternoon. Real easy. It's a fantastic show, and we get a lot in there. It's a very fast-paced news magazine. And it's a whole nother side of the program here, and happy to have you. And again, get back over to AmericaOutloud.com and share the good word. And thank you, my fellow Americans, for being on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loved.